Now I am here with Daya Wilson. She is the founder and CEO of Lifeograph. How you doing, Daya?
Hey, Mark. I'm so excited to be here. It's such an exciting time for me to be on your show. I've been listening to your podcast, and you know, it's a great honor to be on your show.
Well, thank you. And you are doing some exciting stuff. We're going to want to know your background. We're going to want to know what you're doing now. And I think today's going to be a little bit of a chance for us to learn a little bit about how to finance a startup company, because you are starting something called Lifeograph, and you're using a vehicle called crowdfunding. And so I think it'll be a little bit of a chance for us to learn and maybe be a little bit more educated on how crowdfunding works and some of this, the angel investment community as a whole. But I mean, I think we should first maybe share with our audience how you and I met. You want me to do that, or you want to do that?
I can do it a little quick.
You share with them, because I think it's kind of an interesting story of how we ended up coming across one another.
Yeah, I think it was meant to be. You know, I've lived in Silicon Valley for the last 20 years, and recently we decided to move to the Sacramento area for a lifestyle change, and I was introduced to one of my friends in San Francisco, a VC, says, "Oh, I've heard you're moving to Sacramento. I want to introduce you to this guy, Mark Haney." And I'm like, "Okay, sure." So we make the connection on Facebook, and you said something like, "Okay, let's go have some coffee or something." And I was like, "I would love to, but we just moved like a couple days ago. I still have the U-Haul in the driveway." And you're like, "Wow, really? 2 days ago, you hold in the driveway, you don't happen to have moved to Terracina in Loomis." And I'm like, "How would you even know? Nobody else knows."
Like, whoa, he's stalking me already. The guy is creepy. You're like, "Sean, who? What's going on, buddy?"
It turns out Mark Haney was my next door neighbor, and somebody that completely had no idea introduced me to my next door neighbor. So that was really funny. But it was meant to be. I think it was a God's sign.
I think so. It was meant to be. We have become friends. My wife, you know, your husband, Ethan, has been on our show. He's an
That's
entrepreneur.
Right.
And I think it's meant to be. And
you have become an investor in my startup, Lifeograph.
I have, right? Yeah. Full disclosure, I am super excited about Lifeograph. It's one of my latest investments. And I think a couple of reasons why I'm so excited about Lifeograph is, one is, there's a huge vision for Lifeograph, but also I invest into entrepreneurs to begin with, and so I am investing into you. I think our audience, your Facebook Live is going now. They already know you. I know you have a sort of a fan club that's already built, but I love this opportunity to get you exposed to my friends as well. So why don't we begin with, what is Lifeograph? Maybe you can give us an overview.
Sure. Lifeograph is the wiki of people. It's as simple as that. Sometimes I joke and I say that if LinkedIn and Wikipedia had a baby, Lifeograph would be their name.
Okay.
So what we're trying to do is we try to kind of celebrate people's accomplishments and their relationships with each other. So, you know, throughout your life, there are many people that have helped you get to where you are now. Mm-hmm. And so we build these chronological timelines, and we map the connections between people, the real-life connections. That way, in case you need to reach to one of the people that you want to, you know exactly who you should go through in order to reach that person. Because the best introduction is a warm introduction. But many times you don't know who that can be.
Well, I'm thinking about LinkedIn. So my LinkedIn following or whatever, I have a lot of connections, and most of them I don't know. So I'm thinking about, people use LinkedIn sort of as a marketing tool. They want to go reach people for one reason or another, maybe to strike up a conversation related to business. So walk me through how somebody might use Lifeograph to help. What problem are they solving, I suppose?
Mm-hmm, sure. So, for example, let's say you want to reach out to the CEO of Salesforce.
Okay.
What's your best way to get there? What's
is
your
that
fastest?
Mark Benioff? Who is that? Who is the CEO of
So the CEO is Mark Benioff.
Okay.
Yeah. So who would be your fastest path to Mark Benioff, right?
Okay.
To give you an example, a real life example, one of our advisors at Lifograph is the former CEO of Salesforce.
Oh.
So you would reach out to me. Uh-huh. I would reach out to Rajani, who's our advisor. Rajani right. worked with Mark Benioff for a long time.
2 degrees of separation. Yeah, but I wouldn't know that on LinkedIn or Facebook or another social media platform.
You would not know that information. But Lifograph will help you trace your path. It's like GPS for relationships.
Oh, I love it. So you can see who's connected to who. And it's... It's a process where starting a venture like this, it takes a long time to sort of get it off the ground. Is that true? Or how fast can something like this get off the ground?
And, I'm glad that you asked that question, right? Because the beauty of what we do is we're a crowdsourced platform. So we allow people to contribute content to the platform. A regular social network like LinkedIn, for example, it takes them harder to reach the network effects because they depend on the users to sign up, right?
Okay.
Whereas with us, a small group of people, they can build a lot of content and create a lot of value. If you have enough value, people will come. If people come, there's more value, and it's a snowball effect.
I guess it's probably worth noting, and you and I haven't really spent time talking about this. Are there certain regulations, things that we can't talk about because you're in the process of going through this crowdfunding raise? Are there certain requirements where we have to sort of keep certain things off limits?
Yes, and I'm glad you brought up the crowdfunding. So I'm also an angel investor at the Wharton Angels.
Okay.
I've built a huge network of investors in Silicon Valley, and yet I have chosen equity crowdfunding to be one of my vehicle to get the startup funded. I'm happy to say that every week we get about $50,000 in investments from regular folks,
okay.
Right? Friends, people that know me. People from out of the country that mm-hmm. they just find out about us and they want to invest. So the beauty of equity crowdfunding is that once you're registered with the SEC, you can go on a crowdfunding platform and you can start to publicly solicit investment from anyone. So
okay.
you don't have to be an accredited investor. You can actually put $100 or more into Lifograph or any other companies that are raising money through equity crowdfunding.
Well, I'm going to slow it down a little bit just for our audience. So not everybody is as familiar with angel investing and the term accredited investor. We all know that that's somebody who is more qualified to invest, right? They have to have a certain income threshold or a certain net worth.
$250,000 or $1 million in net worth, excluding your residence.
But on a crowdfunding, it could be somebody who's just excited about how Lifograph might change the world, and they want to just have a little piece of this this growth opportunity.
Exactly. And we build this together, right? So some of our investors, they're dentists, they're teachers. There are people that come to our events and they want to have a piece of Lifograph. So anybody can be an investor. You don't have to put too much money in it if you don't want to. You can put anywhere from, $100 to $100,000 if you want. But it's all up to you.
But in crowdfunding, it's not just a novelty in this situation. They actually get a piece of equity so that someday if there's ever a liquidation event, somebody might get a nice return on their investment.
That's right. So you have two types of crowdfunding. One is rewards-based and one is equity-based. We're doing equity-based. In rewards-based, you talk about Kickstarter or Indiegogo, where you put money in to get some kind of product that the company is going to build in the future. Equity crowdfunding, the one that Lifograph is doing, means that you actually get a piece of the company. You invest in the company, and you, in case that sell the company or go public, you're going to make hopefully more than what you put in. There was the company Oculus VR,
yes.
Right? Facebook bought them, and if I remember correctly, if you got one Oculus, if you got one Oculus, but if you invested the same amount of money, a few hundred dollars in Oculus, by the time Facebook bought them, you would have made over $1 million.
Right, but instead the Oculus investors, they didn't get such a good return.
So
investors. They got a reward.
Weren't investors. Exactly. Ah. They were just purchasers. They were just customers. But if they put that money, you know, if Oculus has made an equity investment, they would have made huge return on their investment. Yeah. So that's why equity, in my opinion, is better. And that's why me, even though I'm raising money through equity crowdfunding, I'm also investing in other companies that I like who do equity crowdfunding.
Well, interesting. So you are an investor. It's an interesting story to me to have somebody move in across the street from me. You've obviously had a ton of success. Your husband is a success, and you are starting your own business, and you're going out and getting crowdfunding. So I'm wondering why the crowdfunding, beyond the networky effects, which I know are important. Are there other reasons why you said, hey, I'm going crowdfunding?
Yeah, and that's a great question. So when you raise money from institutional investors, you might get 1, 10, 20 people that give you a check, right? When you go through equity crowdfunding, you can have 100, 200, 500 investors. What does that do? There are 500 people that will be your ambassadors to spread the word about the Lifograph, to go out there and convince their networks to join Lifograph. 500 people that will be able to go in and add content to Lifograph. So for me, because we are such an open community, crowdfunding made more sense than going after only a handful of people.
Gotcha. Well, let's walk us through that progression. So you come in, you raise your initial money. You've obviously built this platform already. So that came from basically you bootstrap that. That came from your own money. Yeah. And now you decided, hey, I want to share this opportunity with the world. Walk us through the progression of what financing a company like this might look like, or what you intend to have happen. Because typically people get these angel investments or crowdfunding, and then there's a Series A or B, C, maybe even sell or go public. So what do you envision for Lifograph?
Sure. So I definitely think that after our first seed round, we're definitely going to have to raise more money. In order to scale, you need to raise more money, right? You look at companies like LinkedIn. They raised millions and millions of dollars before they sold for $26 billion to Microsoft. So it takes money to make money, and we definitely intend to raise more. We're very happy with the way our crowdfunding is going. Few weeks, as I said, you get 50,000 every week, and our campaign will go until the end of October, unless we close the round earlier because we have maxed out.
Because it's full. So you raise this initial round of money, and what do you do with this money? What's it intended for?
So definitely scaling. So we have built the platform. The platform is functional. We have over 500,000 profiles of people and companies that we have already mapped 1.2 million connections between them.
Wow.
And this is only growing.
1.2 million connections between Mark Benioff or this other guy that was
COO
of Salesforce. Interesting. I'm on there too. So we got some small guys, you got the big boys.
Yes, well, you're one of the big boys. And we're very excited because, one of the ways that we make money is to build these Lifographs for companies and people. For Haneybees, for example, I know that we're going to start tracing, connections between you and your customers and your clients and your partners. And each of us, we promote each other through our relationships, right? So imagine one of, you're going to show up as an investor in Lifograph's page, and I'm going to show up in your page as an investment, right? So we all borrow credibility from each other, and we all showcase each other.
So helpful for if you want to meet somebody, there's a way to get there. But thinking about just the education of our audience, thinking about people who are entrepreneurs out there, they're thinking about how am I going to get my startup funded. Talk to us about the vehicle. Some people put in straight equity. I know there's one of the most popular investment vehicles is a convertible note. How does Lifograph work?
Yes, convertible notes are very popular. Recently, we have seen a switch to safes. Mm-hmm. Safe is a financial instrument that basically is very much like a convertible note. However, it doesn't have necessarily the interest.
Okay.
But you also can have the valuation cap, which is, you know, if you raise money up to, let's say, $6 million valuation, if you raise next round at $20 million valuation, you're going to convert at $6
million. So the existing shareholders, they, if you have an investment cap of $6 million, they basically get to buy in at that $6
million,
even if you raise money at a $20 million valuation later. So they get an advantage,
almost
really, for getting in early.
More than three times their money, really.
Yes.
Because they, you know, the $6 million becomes $20 million, so their shares become three times as valuable.
It's a great vehicle, especially when you when you're thinking about like what is a startup worth, right? So a lot of times with these companies like yourself, with that maybe have low revenue, or even many cases there's no real revenue yet. How do you value something like this? So a safe or a convertible note, it really allows us to not put a price or a value on today's investment opportunity.
Exactly.
It really gets plugged at a point in the future.
Exactly, and it bets on the odds that you're gonna your valuation will go up. Eventually, you're gonna get sold to, you know, another bigger company, or you're gonna go public.
Right. So the safe doesn't have the interest associated with it, but sometimes people use a discount, kind of like a worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Can you explain that?
Yeah, and it's great that you pointed this out. For Lifograph, for example, we have both a discount of 20% and a valuation cap, and also some early bird terms that hopefully the audience will be able to take advantage of. In addition, we also have some perks for investors, which include all kind of goodies, including...
I see you're wearing a Lifograph shirt. I see a Lifograph hat.
Yeah,
as investors,
swag,
can we get any of that swag?
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And going back to the discount, what that means is, okay, so the investors in Lifograph, let's say, so our valuation is 6.75, right? But the investors will also get a 20% discount on that. So that means that your shares will be 20% less than what other people will invest in the future,
right?
So you get
now that's if you don't come up with a high valuation in the next round, right? If the next round is at $6 million, or $8 million, it'd be whatever is lower, right? The cap or the discounted, right?
Yeah,
whatever is worth, whatever's the better deal for the investor.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. Whatever, so it will always work in the favor of the investor, whatever is better for the investor, and they get to choose as well.
Well, so your background, it's interesting that you bring this knowledge to your own investment opportunity, right, your own company, but let's talk about your background. So how did you get so up to speed on all this stuff? You mentioned Wharton, right, which we all know is an Ivy League school, right? The University of Pennsylvania. Did you come through the University of Pennsylvania?
So I came to the U.S. about more than 20 years ago.
Okay.
And I came on a scholarship. I got full tuition at the University of Washington to do a law degree. So I started as a lawyer, and I got my Master in Laws, the LLM, at University of Washington. After that, I worked at Microsoft, met Bill Gates, and I went to work. So it was the time when the big dot-com boom was starting, and I really love technology. I really want to be part of this revolution in technology. So I moved to Silicon Valley and started working at PricewaterhouseCoopers, another Fortune 100 company.
Mm-hmm.
And I love what I did.
They're a big four accounting firm,
yes,
right?
Yes. And because we know we're doing a lot of deals with, you know, Google was a baby and eBay was a baby. You know, we got exposed to so much amazing early technology. So that was great learning for me. And I felt I missed the network since I didn't grow up in the U.S. And I felt that I wanted to build my network. The best way to do it and to learn something was through do an MBA. So I applied to, you know, top three, I think, business schools. And, you know, I got accepted by number one in the world.
Number one in the world is Wharton. A lot of people haven't heard of Wharton unless you run in these, these financial circles. But, I mean, there's been a lot of famous people that have gone through Wharton. My brother actually went through Wharton.
Yeah.
But he's not famous. But but
well,
I know about it because
and
he went
CEO
there.
And the CEO of Google and other people, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you decide to go get your MBA. You knock that out, yes. And you're simultaneously working at Pricewaterhouse?
No, because that was a full-time MBA. I finished my degree, and I moved to Silicon Valley back, right? Uh-huh. And I've done startups ever since. I got a couple of exits under my belt, and nice. Then decided to... I was actually, the way I started Lifograph, I was pitching my another startup that I had to a panel of investors, and I did a lot of research to see, you know, how they're connected, who they know, what companies they invested in. Right. It took me a long time to do all this manual research. And then I was like, wow, I just wasted a few hours of my life. I cannot get back. What if I had a digital map of all these connections? What mm-hmm. if this research was done already? And because the other people that were pitching to the same investors, they spent the same amount of money. What a waste of life. So I decided, what if I take this research? I could put it online. Everybody adds a little piece. I think of Lifograph as a puzzle. You look first at this big mass of unruly pieces, right? But then I start to put a little piece here. You start to put a little piece. All of a sudden, it builds this beautiful puzzle that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So that's my vision for Lifograph. My goal is to help you find the right people in just one click of a button.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because you've had all this success, and I think, I don't know if you've been challenged on this before, but I see some people that have a certain amount of success and they want to sort of wind it down, and they're happy fading off into the sunset, if you will, but other people, they end up being complacent and things like that, but you're still driven and you have this incredible family, but yet you still have this drive to build something big. What? Why? What makes you tick?
I'm just getting started. You know, I have a mission in life, and until I see that, I will not rest. You know, I want Lifograph to be my legacy to the world. I want this to improve people's lives. I want to give them back their time so they spend it with their family instead of doing manual search, trying to find partners in business or employees or investors. So that's my goal. And I'm so excited. I have an amazing team, you know, PhD in computer science, and, you know, our advisor, amazing. We have the general manager of Microsoft as part of my advisory board.
Wow.
Former CEO of Salesforce. I have you, Mark, in my advisory board.
Very honored to be a part of that. Dale.
Tom Kandris as well, a great entrepreneur. Very business savvy. So I'm just getting started. I'm telling you, we paved the road to be where we are right now. I'm waiting for the rocket ship to take off.
Describe to us what you think. Kind of use our imagination a little bit. How big could Lifograph be? Could it be as big as a LinkedIn? Could it be bigger?
And it's interesting that you asked, right? So let's say LinkedIn has about 500 million professionals, right? But how many people are in the world?
6 billion or so.
Yeah, right. So can we be bigger in terms of numbers? Most likely. Why? Because you see, we don't necessarily need users in order to provide value, right? There's so many people out there that have been mentioned in the media that they're not on LinkedIn, mm-hmm. right? We will be able to write about them.
It's a research tool for somebody.
Exactly. So, you know, we always like to say that, yes, we could be bigger than LinkedIn, uh-huh. unless LinkedIn snaps us up for a few billion dollars. But it's a big if, right?
Yeah. So Wikipedia and LinkedIn have the baby, and it is Lifograph. Interesting.
Yes.
Okay. It's coming together, and but you mentioned the team, and I have to dive into this. You know, you're, as an investor, we both know that we look at the team as a integral part of, you know, the rationale for whether we're going to invest or not. How did you find your team? A lot of times it's like, hey, the team needs to have synergy, right? They have to work well together. How did you find your team?
Yeah, and this is the hardest thing to do, right? I have our tagline at Lifograph is, it's all about the people. And it's true. In life and in business, it's all about the people. And it's not the easiest thing to find, right? If you look at startups, the biggest reason they fail, number one is maybe they scale too fast. And number two is because co-founder issues. Mm-hmm. So surrounding yourself with the right people is very, very hard. You know, I had to go through several people before I found my match. Right. And we're very happy. We've been working for the last few years together. So I'm very lucky that way. But I know a lot of founders, they struggle trying to find the right talent. And wow. Especially in the technical field, there's so many temptations to work for the big companies and get the big bucks and all the stock options and benefits and massages at work. Right. Mm-hmm. Compared to a small startup that doesn't have the same resources. But what keeps my team together is the vision for what we're trying to build. We are all led by this, you know, mission to go forward and build what we want to do.
Well, you chose Sacramento. You moved here, you mentioned, for lifestyle reasons. It wasn't just to live next door to Mark Haney. I know that because we didn't know each other yet. But I can see why you would choose Sacramento. I'm a little bit biased, though, because I grew up here. I grew up in Roseville. We now live in Loomis. But I love this town. What's the reception been since you moved in?
And I have to say, I was a little bit leery about moving, right? Because I came to this area about 15 years ago. It was so much different than what it is right now, right? So I felt also that leaving back all my network and all the people, and I know I do events in the Bay Area, and so I felt like I'm going to uproot myself, and who knows what I'm going to find. And I have to tell you, I was so impressed with what's happening right here. The entrepreneurial community, I didn't expect to see this. The tech, the investment, the pitch events, Entrepreneur Unleashed event, unbelievable. What's here, it's the hidden gem of Northern California. And, you guys don't move here. Don't bring the traffic.
Keep it secret.
Don't bring the traffic to Sacramento. But I am so excited. And I can't wait to, I can't wait for Lifograph to become the unicorn of Sacramento.
Oh, wow. We're waiting for a unicorn to emerge. And I think it could be Lifograph. I'm invested into a couple other. I'm good at picking startups that have great founders. Somehow I've gotten lucky, and there's a few that are emerging. So I have a couple in my portfolio that I'm going to challenge you. We'll make this the Haney Biz Challenge. Who will be the first unicorn? I love it. Yeah. So thinking about Sacramento, I've seen this community emerge, and maybe from an economic development standpoint, when an entrepreneur succeeds, it is really good for the community. We can see what happened in the Bay Area. We can see what happened in Seattle, and one of our good friends just moved to Nashville, right? So there are certain areas that end up sort of rallying around the concept of entrepreneurship, and it becomes almost cool to be an entrepreneur in that town. Now, Sacramento's not there yet, but as that happens, I mean, how does it change a town?
Well, let's take the example of Lifograph, right? We raise a few $100,000 on crowdfunding. What are we going to do with the money? We're going to hire local people, right? So all of a sudden, you have an influx of this money. You're going to create more jobs. It's going to spend on services, you get the office space. So entrepreneurship is the engine of innovation and progress. That's why it's so important, even for the current entrepreneurs, to nurture and mentor other entrepreneurs. Yes. Because we build each other up, we raise each other up, and having that fellowship amongst entrepreneur is the way to go. Everybody wins.
I have this fascination. Some of my friends know that my fascination is if enough of the Daya Wilsons, enough of the Tom Candrases that you mentioned, the successful entrepreneurs, help enough of the up-and-comers, we can ignite an entrepreneurial revolution, right? We can really change Sacramento from the image that a lot of people have of us being a government town, a cow town, which is, we're going to have the government, but it doesn't mean we can't be innovative. innovative as well.
Absolutely. And as I said, I'm stunned to see how much innovation, how much entrepreneurial spirit this year. And it's only growing. It's only growing. I'm very excited to be part of this.
So, you know, we only have a minute or two left, but just the vision for the future. I mean, you talk about a day in the life, and it sounds a lot of work, but sounds like a fun job to me, because building something great is always a ton of fun. But so just the vision for the future, get us excited about where this thing is going, and maybe just remind us how we might get involved.
Sure. So we have big vision, of course, and I already see it. One of the things that we will allow people to do if they want to is to import their address book or import their connections, because when they do that, they get to connect the dots faster with other people, right? And everybody has probably 2,000 contacts on their address book, right? 2,000 from you, 2,000 from Tom Candris, 2,000 from Brian, right? It will build up really quickly. So our vision is to go really fast, really, growing big, quick. Monetization is also one of our next steps that we want to take. The way we want to make money is to promote companies on Lifograph. So we're a marketing engine. We want to showcase companies, to showcase people through their accomplishments. And imagine you were a software developer company. You know, what's the best way to promote yourself? Of course, you can put an ad on Google, and if you pay enough, you're going to rise up to the top. However, what if you can showcase that, hey, you know, we did work for Hanybiz.
Yes.
We did work for Lifograph. We did work for, Facebook. How much weight does a credibility like that have, right? So that's what
great
that's
point.
Our
goal. Yeah, it's proof.
It's proof of exactly
what you're doing.
Your track record is basis for future business, and that's what we're trying to do.
That's exciting. Now, how do we get involved? If I'm somebody who wants to invest, can we announce that on the air?
Yes.
I don't know. Okay.
Yes.
So how do we get involved? Do we go to a platform to look into the opportunity?
Yes. So we are on WeFunder, WeFunder. WeFunder. It's a Y Combinator company. It's licensed by the SEC to do equity crowdfunding. And it's as easy as, 5 minutes to create an account and put $100 into it. So it's very easy. It's like going on Amazon and shopping for startups you like.
But heck, be business partners with Mark Haney, Dea Wilson. Go to WeFunder. Let's partner up together. Let's figure out a way to change the world. I love it when entrepreneurs come together or investors come together to do something more important than just a return. Of course, a return on your investment is important, but, I mean, let's do something important with our money.
Exactly. And that's what we want to do. We want, we want to be good shepherds of your investment and build it into something that can be a legacy to the world. You can be part of the largest wiki of people in the world. Invest $100 in Lifograph.
Dea Wilson, founder, CEO of Lifograph, my next door neighbor, my good friend, a gem that we are going to put on a pedestal here in this hometown of Sacramento, the hometown that we love. Thanks for sharing your story. Thank you for everything you've done for me.
Thank you, Mark. What a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you.